So I kind of tease Pastor Jesse a little bit that whenever I preach, I'm not as long-winded as he is usually. So I always give the kids teachers a warning as well. Say, hey, you know what? I'm preaching today, so you might want to cut out a few things in the kids' service just because you're not going to have time to do everything. So this morning, we'll probably be out just a shade earlier than what we usually are just because I'm not as long-winded. So that means this. Whatever choice of restaurant that you like to go to, I'm sure the lines won't be too long. If you have something cooking at home, you'll have a few more minutes for it to let it marinate before you dive in. Certainly, you'll be home before the 1 o'clock kickoff, so no sweat there. And it'll be good. We'll have a good day today. But I'm always thankful for a time that I can preach. So we're going to be in the book of Jude. Book of Jude. If you actually have your pew Bibles ahead, and if you didn't bring your Bible, that's fine. We're going to be on page 1,223 there in your pew Bible, Jude. And if you don't want to forego that, it's sandwiched right between 3 John and Revelation at the very end of your Bible. And we're going to just spend just a few moments here in this small but powerful book. And as you turn there this morning, I want you to think through this question, okay? Think through this question with me. What are you passionate about this morning? What are you passionate about this morning? So for some of you, you know, you get passionate, you have a lot of excitement for maybe your job. You know, I don't know what everybody does in here, but it might be your job. You might really enjoy getting up in the morning and going and getting the job done at your job. For some of you, it may be your family. You know, you love spending time with your kids, your grandkids, whatever. You like going to activities. You like going to the apple orchard. You like going to the pumpkin patch. You like going to the football game, the soccer game, whatever it might be. You like to spend time with your family. For some of you, it might be a hobby, you know, such as, I can't believe I'm saying this, but putting puzzles together, okay? That might be your passion. I have no idea. Some of it might be, you know, maybe doing yard work or whatever hobby that you like. If I were to just ask my wife this question right now, she would say, you know what? My husband is passionate about the Green Bay Packers. And you know what? I would affirm with that 100%. So, I'm a pretty easygoing guy for those of you that know me. I'm pretty laid back, you know. So actually, my team plays tomorrow night. So I can kind of have another day and a half of kind of stress-free kind of living until tomorrow night when we play the Chiefs on Monday night. And things kind of change. You know, I get a little nervous. I'll sweat a little bit. I'm kind of anxious. And I've never come to the point where I've gotten sick over the game, but there's been a couple times where it's been pretty close. So I would say right now that, you know, I am passionate. One of the things that I'm passionate about is Green Bay Packers football. And you know what? The season is short. They play once a week. So I think it's fair that, you know, I like to be passionate about the Packers, right? Because it's just 17 weeks plus playoffs, no sweat, right? I'm getting the death stare from that look that it's 17 weeks plus the playoffs is too long. But what are you passionate about this morning? So shifting gears slightly, if you're a believer here this morning and you've been saved by Jesus, you've been saved by the grace of God, you are a new creature created in Christ. You're a disciple. You're a disciple of Jesus. And as part of that, being a disciple, you are commanded to grow in grace this morning. You're commanded to grow in grace. The scripture, if we would sit here and pull every bits and pieces of what it is to be passionate, what it is to grow in Christ, you know, we would literally be here all week and all month and probably all year. All year. It's full of commands. But God has blessed us physically. He's blessed us spiritually. And we look to him and we affirm his goodness and his grace on us. So as we look at the book of Jude this morning, I trust and pray that the Holy Spirit will just help you, enable you, and strengthen you to become more passionate for Jesus, for his church, than when you first walked in here today for Sunday school or the service this morning. So this morning, even though I'm addressing everyone and speaking to everyone, this is really for the Christians this morning. It's only for the Christians. So if you were here this morning and you don't know Jesus, you don't know how about his saving grace, I pray that the Holy Spirit would just speak to your heart and life this morning and help you understand that you too can be a disciple of Jesus. So depending on how the book of Jude is written in your Bible, if you're there, you'll notice that it's not a real long book. If you have a study Bible of some sort, that'll obviously make it a lot longer. And again, we're not going to cover even every verse this morning. We're not going to do that. But I want to start our time this morning by reading the first two verses of the book. And you can follow along with me as I read. And the scripture says this: Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and its brother of James, to those who are called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ, may mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. So to help kind of set the context here a little bit, to kind of help us understand just a brief history of the book, I think it's helpful to do that. So the author believed to have wrote the book of Jude is Jude, Jesus's half-brother, okay? This is Jesus's half-brother, Jude. Jude does not identify himself as an apostle or even a disciple of any kind of things like that. He is the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Mark would both tell us that Jesus has a brother or a half-brother named Jude. This is the same Jude that we are referring to this morning. Jude is simply writing the book for this reason. He wants to be an encouragement to the believers so that they can continue to persevere. So his audience is Christians so that they can persevere in the faith, in the faith. So Jude was helping these Christians understand the big picture that Jesus died for sinners and that we need to persevere so that we can hang on to the strong hold, which is Jesus. So as we examine our text this morning, we'll see that Jude calls himself a servant of Jesus while he acknowledges that Jesus is Lord. So we have servant on one end, and we have him saying that Jesus is Lord on the other. What I do like about this is helpful, because I like when things are clear and when things are concise. Jude makes it very clear and very obvious that he does not hide his faith in Jesus. He makes it very well known. He makes it very well known. You know, one of those things about us and about our culture is that our culture doesn't like the idea of a servant. We just don't. We think it's, demeaning or what have you. And a lot of times when that word is used in maybe a TV show or a book or something, or a movie, it is demeaning. It is demeaning because it doesn't give the people, as a human being, as in the image of God, the proper respect. But this is completely different, okay? In the sense that if you are a professing believer this morning, if you are a believer in Jesus, you are a servant of Jesus. You are a servant of Jesus, which simply means this. You have died to yourself. It's not about you anymore. And you are making this life right now that we're living here on this earth about Jesus. And we're focusing everything on Jesus. And we're taking a step back and denying our own selves and saying, you know what? It's not about me. It's about Jesus. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. So then your motives would go from a selfish kind of me first attitude to then, with a gospel-centered focus on Jesus and on serving him, on serving his church, and loving others. That's what the book of Jude is written for. So Christian, this morning, if you're here and you affirm Jesus, that's you. Our lives ought to be reflecting that. You are a servant of Christ. So wherever God has placed you this morning, that is where you do your service at. Wherever God has placed you, that is where you do your service. So again, it doesn't matter if you're a student somewhere, if you're working somewhere, you're retired, wherever God has placed you here on this earth, you are serving his purpose. You're serving his purpose. We're called to be salt and light, and you are salt and light to wherever God has placed you this morning. And you know, if you kind of step back and think about it, there's no greater joy than to serve our King Jesus in such a role as where he has us now. So be thankful for that. Be thankful for that. Remember this as well, that God has enabled you to do things that are necessary for his kingdom. Again, it's not about us. It's about Jesus and what we can do for others. So be passionate about where God has placed you this morning and how he is using you. So you may be thinking, you know what? But I work here. I do this. I'm retired. My sphere of influence, my realm of influence isn't big. You know what? Be thankful for where God has placed you. And whatever you are doing for Christ and his kingdom, be passionate about that. Be passionate about that. We'll continue on. The next phrase in verse 1, we'll go back to the scripture, is helpful to us as Christians because it sets us apart. We're different. We're different. Christian, this morning, you were called. You're called. You're calling through Jesus. It's not some sort of weird accident or weird circumstance. You know, God has saved you and redeemed you for his glory, for his honor and glory. Again, not about us. Because of this calling, this is great news. We are a new creature. We are a new person in Christ. You don't have to turn there. You can write this down if you'd like. But the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 helps us understand this even a little further. And the scripture says this: "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." God has breathed new life into you. It's encouraging. It's a wonderful thing. It's something to be passionate about. God has breathed new life into you. How many of you, your favorite book of the Bible is Ezekiel? Terry, all right. I didn't think anybody would raise their hand. Say, Ezekiel is not one of those books of the Bible that, you know, we turn to in times of distress and times of trouble, or when we're looking forward to, you know, doing something, or if we're going to have a Bible study. Ezekiel is not one of those real exciting books in that regard. But it is very helpful in this instance. Chapter 37, you don't have to turn there. But if you recall from perhaps Sunday school lessons or from other sermons that you've heard through the years, this is the valley. This is the passage about the valley of the dry bones, Ezekiel chapter 37. And the whole premise is it's a valley full of dry bones. If you can just imagine, for some reason, when I think of this, I think of like I don't even know if this even exists, but my mind draws me to like a movie that's like the dinosaurs with dinosaurs, and they're in some weird valley, and there's just bones laying everywhere, okay? For all I know, that's some sort of kids movie, but nothing is coming to my head. So that's the image that I get in my head, kind of a dark place where there's bones just kind of in piles laying there. And then when we see this, and if we would take the time to really dissect this passage, we see that God breathes new life into these dry bones. And guess what? It's a new creature. It's a new person created through Jesus Christ. So I this morning I want us to think about the dwelling and to dwell on the blessings of how Christ has saved you. He's redeemed you. And may we as a church and a people, you know, desire to see God continue to change hearts and to see and to change minds for the sake of Christ and his church. We want to have a passion for people, a passion for people. The book of Romans also helps us understand this wonderful truth that when we are called by God, he transforms our heart, our mind, and our motives. Everything is different about us. We're different than we were a day ago. We were different than we were a week ago, and so on and so forth, and so on and so forth. Because of God and his love, you know, we can understand that we can understand what the Bible doctrine of justification is. And we sang that word this morning a little bit ago. But you might be thinking, what does that mean? What does justified in God's eyes mean? It simply means this: declared to be right in God's eyes, that God has made you right. That's what that means. So, Christian, this morning, it's wonderful. If you're a Christian this morning, God has declared you righteous. Let's be passionate about that. Sin had us guilty and tied down, and now we're free. We're free. We're free in Christ. So this morning, as we're talking about the idea of conversion and being thankful and being passionate about what God has done for you and what God has done for me, think about your own conversion story this morning. You know, who are you thankful for in your life that helped you understand the goodness and the grace of Jesus? You know, we would all affirm that God can change his hearts, but he uses people to help with that process. And that's the idea of biblical evangelism, you know, and what that looks like. You know, bringing the gospel to someone, telling somebody about Jesus. And again, that comes in all different forms, from, you know, talking to our friends and our family to, you know, having a position of authority in church and teaching a Sunday school class and helping people understand who Jesus is. So as you think about that, what person or what group of people did God send in your life to help you understand who Jesus was? Parent, a grandparent, a coworker, whoever it may be. You know, reflect on that this morning. Reflect on that this morning. You know, Pastor Jesse mentioned last week that I believe it was his dad was a first-generation Christian. He was saved by somebody coming to the door and knocking on his door and helping them understand about Jesus. You know, as I was thinking about that last week, you know, that's kind of how my family, you know, came to know Christ. Both sets of my grandparents are first-generation Christians. They're one set lived in Wisconsin, the other set lived in Illinois, and the churches there in those communities had people that went out and knocked on the doors, for door-to-door evangelism. And that's how both of my grandparents became Christians. That's how, the first time they ever heard about Jesus was in that method. Became saved and got actively involved in the church. And then, of course, my parents met later, and then I'll talk more about that in a few minutes. But bringing the gospel to somebody, God changing hearts. You know, what person are you thankful for that did that for you? So as you learn and as we continue to grow with one another, you know, what we want to do is take it a step farther and share our testimony with others, other Christians, other people that we know, just so we can tell them the good news that what Jesus has done for us. Some of our stories, you know, this is going to sound, you know, maybe a little sacrilege. I hope not. But some of our conversion stories may sound boring, may sound plain, may sound simple, may not be very exciting, and that's perfectly okay. Some of you have come from other parts of your life, and where your conversion story is obviously maybe a little bit more exciting, perhaps. I don't know. I don't even know if that's the right word for it. But in the end, God does the saving, and we all have different backgrounds from where we come out of. God does it for His glory, you know, not for our own. So if you're here this morning and you say, you know what, Lucas, man, I have no idea where to even start, how to even share something with other people so that they know that I'm a follower of Jesus. I have no idea how to do that. Here's what it would look like. And the reason why we're doing that is because how many of you signed up for Life Group? Most of you have. Perfect. So the first week, maybe even the first 2 weeks, depending on how your group is, we're going to ask the facilitators to have everybody in the group share your testimony. Okay? Doesn't have to be big, doesn't have to be long. It can be as simple such as this. And I have the youth on Wednesday night, and at some point in time, we're going to do this exact same thing. We just haven't done it yet. But here would be mine. You can make it as simple as this, and since I get to preach today, and we're going to be having a meeting next week, and then as the small groups start next week, this is just for you to be thinking about before you have your group. So here would be mine. You can make it as simple and as concise as this. You know, I was born to Christian parents. For as long as I can remember, you know, I was in the church, you know, from however young I was. So each Sunday we would go to church. I'd learn about Jesus. My parents were Sunday school teachers. They were heavily involved, even still to this day. I would hear about Jesus. I would know about what He did for me. As the weeks would progress through Monday through Saturday, we would have our family devotion time where we would have a, you know, 10 or 15 minutes just kind of set aside to have a Bible story or a time of prayer or whatever the family devotions that looked like. We did it a variety of different ways where I would again learn more about Jesus. But you know what? It wasn't for me until I was about 10 or 11 that I fully understood what Jesus did for me on the cross. When I think about that, I'm like, you know, I'm glad it finally clicked. You know, for some reason, I just remember not being confused isn't the right word, but just not really getting it all. It wasn't until about I was 10 or 11 that I fully understood. I remember the night that it finally clicked, and God has an interesting way of working out things. We were on a little trip to Mill Creek, West Virginia, visiting some family. And if you've ever been to Mill Creek, it's not the most exciting place in the world. And I don't even know what's there anymore except for just homes and maybe a park and an ice cream store and a couple churches. But we were in Mill Creek visiting my great-grandmother, and they had an old farmhouse, and there was no air conditioning in that house, and it was probably July, and it was blazing hot. And I remember that we were upstairs in the farmhouse, and the only little thing that we had to cool ourselves down was, and I'm surprised they made this, and this is really for you guys, but my great-grandmother had a really old metal fan that I saw it at the flea market a couple weeks ago, where, you know, like there's, you know, those slots on the fan so you can't stick things in there. There was like two of them, so you could easily just stick whatever in there, and that metal fan blade would, you know, chop anything up. And I thought to myself, and my mom was saying to me, my brother, who was younger than I was, don't stick anything in there. But it was so ridiculous because the fan was so small, it was just blowing around, you know, 3,000 degree air, and we're just laying in there sweating, terrible. And I remember thinking, you know what? I don't know Jesus. I don't know Him as my Savior. Don't know Him. And I remember just kind of calmly getting up and saying, "Hey, you know what, Mom? I think it's time for me to get saved right now." And she says, "Sounds good." So she got her little New Testament out that she had brought with her, and showed me a few verses and helped me understand a little bit more. And it was on that night, when I was 10 or 11, that I accepted Christ there in Mill Creek, West Virginia. And I've only been back once or twice since then. But something as simple as that, you know, where God has changed me and redeemed me when I was a child, 10 or 11. Bragging on what Jesus did for you. You know, I can gladly stand up here and say, you know what? I'm glad that he changed my life that day. I'm glad that he did. And it doesn't matter if you can't articulate everything perfectly. It doesn't matter. You know, you're not bringing the praise to yourself. You're giving it back to Jesus. You're giving it back to Jesus. So as you think about that for the next couple of weeks, you know, how you may be able to articulate your testimony, you know, you're a new creature in Christ. Having Jesus change you is an exciting time. So be thinking about that. On the same end as well, you know, my prayer for you is that you'd be the evangelist, that you'd be willing to even share that with maybe the person you work next to or your neighbor or whomever, that when God gives you an open door to share that, do that and let God do the rest. You know, we need to have conversations about Jesus. We need to have conversations about Jesus. And that's why we're having life groups to help facilitate. To help facilitate that so that we can begin talking about Jesus and affirm what he's done in our lives. So Christian, this morning, kind of review your servant, and you're called by God and kept by Jesus for his honor and glory. Verse number 2. I know we spent a long time in verse number 1. In verse number 2, we see that Jude is praying for 3 distinct qualities in the reader's lives, and which is us as the reader. Excuse me. We have these 3 things. Verse 2 says this. Verse 2, may mercy and peace and love be multiplied to you. So the first thing is mercy. Showing compassion to someone who might be suffering. And you know, suffering is all around us. You know, we know that God showed mercy on us, you know, as sinners. And that's kind of the image that we want. We want to be kind of like the Jesus figure to those who are suffering, showing mercy to them. You know, what person, what group of individuals or what have you that you know that is suffering for whatever it is, physical, spiritual, emotional, whatever it might be, what person is that? How can you be a blessing to that person or groups of individuals this week? How can you? You know, as we spend time with our family and our friends and our colleagues, and you know, we all have busy schedules, you know, we need to take time and to realize and to be open that people are suffering. And oftentimes it's us as well. But reaching out with them and helping them understand that God loves them and God cares for them. The next word we see is peace. Peace this morning. This is just the idea of tranquility, of rest, of quietness. You know, a moment ago I mentioned the book of Ezekiel, that not everybody's running to the book of Ezekiel to have a time of, you know, when we're looking for something from God's word. But that's what the Psalms are for, you know, and there are several Psalms that are peaceful to the soul, reminding us that, you know what, God is in control. When everything else is going crazy around us, God is in control, and God brings us peace. So wherever God has placed you this morning, you know, I pray that you will bring the peace of Christ to whomever is in your sphere of influence, whoever that might be. God knows. God knows and you know who that is. How can you bring to the peace of Christ to them? Love is simply a strong affection. The word love. The Gospel of Luke chapter 27, chapter 10, verse 27 says this. And it's the parable of the Good Samaritan and Jesus speaking here. And Jesus says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Loving God and loving others. You know, that's kind of where the heartbeat of Love Tiffin is, just simply loving God by serving him and loving others by serving them. So we want Christ to be, again, honored and glorified amongst all things. It's mission work. It's mission work. So when we think back to the word passion, and what are you passionate about this morning? Do you have a passion for God and the things of God and for others? What's your passion? What's your passion? Kind of back to Jude here. Jude is praying that the believers that he's writing to would have these qualities, and that they would have these qualities just bubbling over. Kind of like, you know, the best example I can think of is if you've ever seen somebody drop Mentos and Diet Coke. Have you ever seen what that does? Go home and try it. It's awesome, okay? It'll shoot up and it gets messy, so make sure you kind of run away rather quickly. But that's the image that I get, that it's bubbling over with Jesus and his goodness and his grace so that we can have passion for him. So when you examine your life again this morning and you think through these things, do you show mercy to others? Do you have the peace of Christ that you bring to your sphere of influence this morning? Do you truly love others as God loves the church this morning? Loving others. You know, I hope that everybody would say, you know what, I'm working on that. I'm not there yet, but I'm working on, through God's grace and through God's help, on working towards those things. I hope that it's not a flat no from anybody, because if it's a flat no, then the Holy Spirit can do a great work in you. But I trust that our passion and our heartbeat is those three things this morning. We're going to skip a few verses here this morning and jump to verse 17. We're going to jump to verse 17. The kind of in-between verses is it's helpful to us as Christian, because it talks about false teachers and kind of what those look like in the church and how they lead astray. That's another sermon for another time. We're going to kind of come to the very end portion. Let's pick it up in verse 17. Verse 17 there in the book of Jude. And the scripture says this: "But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, 'In the last time there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up for your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life, and have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh.'" So this morning, you know, we have seen that as Christians, you know, we should be thankful for the salvation that God has blessed us with. You know, we need to be passionate about what God has done in our lives, and that the things that God will continue to do through his goodness and through his grace. You know, this morning we're also hopefully we see the need that we need to be evangelists. We need to be evangelists for his glory and for his sake. And you know what? There's going to be times when the ramifications are going to probably outweigh even talking about Jesus. But you know what? We need to be bold for Jesus and say, hey, you know what? I affirm this. This is God working in my life. Kind of the last thing I want to touch on this morning is this, that God has given us the strength to persevere, to keep going, to keep running towards the final prize. You know, since God has called us and set us apart, he's given us responsibilities. And, you know, as Christians, we need to accept those responsibilities and that we need to do as a Christ follower, as a disciple. One of those big responsibilities is to simply care for our family, to love our family, to care for our family. So you may be, again, thinking here, you know what? Well, my family's grown up. Kids are moved out, grandkids are gone, whatever the case that might be. But you know what? There's plenty of opportunity for you to still minister and to love and to work with your family. You know, one opportunity is if you're here, you know, you're all by yourself and your kids and your grandkids are all over, is to pray for them. Pray for them every single day, diligently and being fervent in prayer. You know, specifically maybe emailing them or calling them and say, hey, you know what? How's school going, or how's work going? What can I specifically pray for you for this week? Getting to know. For those of us that, you know, still have kids and grandkids and things that are all still here, you know, God has called us to love our family and to take care of our family in many different ways. And that's what this discipleship is all about. It's in the way of Jesus. We want to make sure that our kids, our grandkids, our family, our church family knows and understands what Jesus has done. What Jesus has done. Love your family. Care for your family. Maybe it's the other way around. Maybe you're the child and your parents or your grandparents are lost and they don't know who Jesus is. Pray for them. Pray for them. Be real to them. Share Jesus with them. Jude also warns us that there's going to be scoffers and worldly people that'll do anything to make our jobs as disciples of Jesus much more harder, much more difficult. You know, I think that we would all affirm and agree with that, you know, that Satan will use any means necessary to confuse Christians. You know, and that comes out in many different forms. You know, but our job is to what? It's to be salt and light. Salt and light to the world that is around us. One thing that Jude doesn't come out and clearly say, but he alludes to it, is he makes clear the sin of selfishness. The sin of selfishness. In verses 18 and 19, we see that selfishness is a major issue. So our response as Christians, what is that? It's persevering. It's persevering through the faith while we keep our focus and our attention on Jesus this morning. All while adding to, that we are loving, we're caring, we're looking out after our families, we're doing our due diligence in teaching them Jesus, we're shepherding their hearts, we're shepherding their minds for the sake of the gospel and Christ's kingdom. So everything that I mentioned there, we're doing that for our family, but we also want to do that for others by loving them, helping them understand. Christian, this morning, do you see that this is a big, important task and that we all need to work together for this common goal for the sake of Jesus? This is something that we need to have passion about, remain faithful about. Otherwise, you know, Jesus says, you know, nothing will overcome my church. But if the local church doesn't become involved and become passionate about this, you know, eventually at some point in time, you know, church doors close. You know, they're closing all over America because Christians are losing their passion. So as I close this morning, you know, I know that a message such as this can make us feel uncomfortable just because it kind of calls us to go beyond our comfort zone, kind of what we're comfortable doing. You know, it's good to push ourselves. And if you've ever been on a sports team of any kind, you know that a good coach will push you to do things that you may not like to do for the betterment of the team and so that you yourself can improve. This is kind of the same mentality, pushing ourselves so that we can continue to work for the things of Jesus. At the same time, we want to make sure that we're giving all the praise back to Jesus. And we're thanking him for his grace, for his mercy, for his love, for taking care of us, for providing for us. You know, don't be afraid to show that passion this week. Don't be afraid to show that today. You know, that wherever God has placed you, remember this, wherever God has placed you, that is your ministry. That is your area of ministry. You know, we're here in Tiffin, Ohio. 2 weeks ago, we had our missionary who was born and raised in Indiana, thought that was his place of ministry, whatever job he was doing, and God moved him and his family down to the Caribbean at first, to the Dominican, now on to Honduras for mission work. All over. God uses people all over. So let me ask this encouragement as well. If you haven't signed up for a life group, make sure you do that today before you leave. When this, everything that we talked about this morning is what the life group is for, to foster relationships, to foster spiritual relationships, to foster growth in Jesus. So remember that this morning, if you have Jesus, you have everything. If you have Jesus, you have everything. And this morning, flipping, that's Christian, done. We're done with that. This morning, if you're not a Christian this morning, don't know who Jesus is, you've never accepted him as your Savior, make today the good news of Jesus. Make today the good news of Jesus and repentance and faith in him. And I trust that with God and his goodness and his grace, that today, tomorrow, next Sunday, the month of October, the rest of the year, the rest of our lives, that we constantly look to Jesus and that we're the salt and the light that we need to be for his sake, not our own benefit, but so that God gets the glory this morning. Let us pray.